Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning. Hope that you'll look at the announcements that are in the bulletin. Take note of those things that are there. Are there other announcements that need to be made this morning? Seeing and hearing none, I'll invite you to entertain a moment of silence that we might prepare our hearts for worship.
Let us all rise for the call to worship. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you.
The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows and hands, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Holy God, come into our lives and make us holy by your grace. Drive the evil one from us and protect us from all his manipulations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Can you mute the guitar?
Say so.
Let us do the call to confession today. We're Isaiah 53, 4 through 6. Surely he took up our pain and bore our sufferings, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us turned our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let us confess our sin to God and seek the grace of Jesus, our sacrificial lamb and our good shepherd. Let us take a few moments in silent prayer. Let us say together the prayer of confession. Lord God, we confess that we easily go astray. We are like sheep, lost without a shepherd. We have fallen into the trap of sin, cannot find our way out. Come to us and lead us to your flock. Rescue us from the consequences of our sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For the assurance of pardon, it's 1 Peter 2, 4, 24 through 25. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of our souls. Join me together in unison for the affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. And the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
As we come before the Lord in our time of prayer, are there those for whom you'd like special prayer?
Those in the floods in Houston.
For the floods in Houston. What was that?
And Bahamas.
In the Bahamas. Any others? Let us join together our hearts and our minds in a time of prayer. Lord God Almighty, we come to you this morning seeking your presence in our lives, seeking your will to be done in us and through us, seeking your grace to cover us, to make us your own. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done for our benefit, for the ways in which you have called us out of this world to be yours, to be your people, at work in this place, but not of this place. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you are doing for us. We ask, Lord, that you'd be with all of those who are in need. We think of those who have been experiencing flooding, not only in Houston and the Bahamas and elsewhere in the United States, but around the world. We pray for those that have lost homes and possessions, for those who have lost family members, and for those who have passed. We pray, Lord God, that by your grace, you would lift them up, that you would hold them strong, that they would turn to you in their hours of need, and that your church might rally to their side to draw them to you, to fulfill their earthly needs and their spiritual needs. We thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity that is before us. We pray, Lord, for those who have lost loved ones. We pray for Larry and LaVon. Ask that you'd be with them and all of those that have been affected by Jackie's passing away. Pray, Lord God, that your grace has covered her and she has been taken home. Pray, Lord God, for all of those who are in need of your strength and your healing. Pray that you be with Ross as he serves in the Middle East, with Tasha as she serves on the West Coast, and all of those that are in our military, that you would watch over them, that you'd guard them from evil, that you'd direct their lives to do what is right in your sight as they serve, and that you'd bring them safely home to their families. Pray, Lord, for healing, for Garrett, for Mavis, for Barb, for Angel, for Catherine, for Jean, for Connie and Karen, and all the others, Lord, whom we know, who need your touch of grace this day. Heal their bodies, heal their minds, heal their spirits, Lord, that they might worship you and honor you this day. Lord, be with them in a mighty way. And Lord, we pray for Ron and Dorothy as they celebrate their 70th. We pray your blessing upon them, that you'd watch over them, that you'd continue to walk with them each and every day. We thank you, Lord, for Ron and Dorothy and their 70 years together, and that we might celebrate that with them this morning. We pray, Lord God, that you would watch over this church, that you would build us up by your mighty hand, that you'd draw others to us, that we might worship you together, that we might encourage one another, that we might love one another as you love us. We thank you, Lord God, for your word, for your blessings. And Lord, we pray for the other churches of Marshalltown, those churches that we are together trying to build your kingdom. We thank you for each of them and for their pastors. We pray, Lord God, that you would bless them as they lift up your word this morning, as they serve and worship you. We pray, Lord God, that together we might build the Church of Jesus Christ in this county, and that that revival that might spread throughout this state and our nation and our world. Lord, we pray for a third great awakening of the spirit of the people to your spirit. And we just pray, Lord God, that that would happen now in our midst this day. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all that you are doing in our midst and in our lives. We pray, Lord God, that we might trust you for our future, for what you have in store for us, that we might be your people at work in this place. And now, Lord, as your people, we would pray together the prayer you taught your first disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, I'll invite the young people forward for their time. Yes, I know there are more coming. I saw them leave the balcony. Here they come around the corner. Good morning. How we doing? Doing all right? Excellent. What's your favorite animal?
Dog.
Dog? Do you have a favorite animal? What is it?
Sloth.
A sloth? What's your favorite animal?
A bear.
How about you? Favorite animal? Do you have one? What do you think? What do you think? Favorite animal? Not yet? All right. Hasn't made that decision yet. Life's early. All right. How come none of you picked the sheep? What's wrong with the sheep?
It's fluffy.
You don't like fluffiness? Okay. One strike for the sheep. They're fluffy. What else? What else about sheep? What do you think? Come on. Exactly. They're a lot of work. Matter of fact, my dad said, I'll never have sheep on my farm. And we never did. So, the other thing is, my dad would say, you have to put them in a round barn, because if you put them in a square one, they'll all pile into the corner and the bottom ones will suffocate. They need somebody to care for them all the time. So, why does God call us sheep? Why?
Because we need somebody to care for us
all the time. Exactly. We need shepherds. We need people who are going to watch over us and make sure we steer the correct course and take the right turns and all those other things, or we'll be lost. And that's exactly what our passage from Zechariah is going to talk about. Part of it is that, you know, we need good shepherds. And if the shepherds aren't good, we're in deep trouble. But if the shepherds are good, then we'll be all right. That's our state. So where should we look for our shepherd?
We should look for our shepherd in God.
In God, that's right. You know, God is described, or at least Jesus is, as the good shepherd. That's how Jesus describes himself. As a good shepherd. So that means he does what for us? What does he do?
Watches over us.
He watches over us. What else? Yeah, keep it coming.
He takes care of us.
All right, he takes care of us. What else?
He cares for us.
He cares, yes, he very much so. What particular ways does he care for us?
He helps us.
He gets us out of pits. He gets us out of trouble. He does all sorts of things for us. He takes away our sin, our mistakes. He does all sorts of things for us that we can't do for ourselves. And in many ways, he just saves us. That's what a good shepherd does for us. And so we want to turn to our good shepherd today and say thank you and ask him to keep up the good work, right? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, help us and rescue us from our mistakes so we can follow you always. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming up. Let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes and offerings. We'll ask the ushers to come forward and we'll receive the morning offering. Lord God Almighty, we thank you for your grace in our lives, for the love that lifts us up out of the muck and mire of this world, for all that you do for us. We praise you. And for all of your gifts that you have given us, we thank you. May these, our tithes and offerings, be an offering of love to you this day, that in all that we do, you would be glorified and honored. And that we might know the power of your love in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, today's New Testament scripture reading is from John 10, 1 through 18. It's on page 166. The shepherd and his flock. I tell you the truth, the man does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. A man who enters by the gate is a shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said it again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever come before me were thieves, whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate, whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and he will go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, and I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and they shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father.
Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from Zechariah chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. Hear these words, words written by Zechariah, words inspired by the Spirit of God. Zechariah chapter 10. Ask the Lord for rain in the springtime. It is the Lord who makes the storm clouds. He gives showers of rain to men and plants of the field to everyone. The idols speak deceit. Diviners see visions that lie. They tell dreams that are false. They give comfort in vain. Therefore, the people wander like sheep, oppressed for lack of a shepherd. My anger burns against the shepherds, and I will punish the leaders, for the Lord Almighty will care for His flock, the house of Judah, and make them like a proud horse in battle. From Judah will come the cornerstone, from him the tent peg, from him the battle bow, from him every ruler. Together they will be like mighty men trampling the muddy streets in battle. Because the Lord is with them, they will fight and overthrow the horsemen. I will strengthen the house of Judah and save the house of Joseph. I will restore them because I have compassion on them. They will be as though I had not rejected them, for I am the Lord their God, and I will answer them. The Ephraimites will become like mighty men, and their hearts will be glad as with wine. Their children will see it and be joyful. Their hearts will rejoice in the Lord. I will signal for them and gather them in. Surely I will redeem them. They will be as numerous as before. Though I scattered them amongst the peoples, yet in distant lands they will remember me. They and their children will survive, and they will return. I will bring them back from Egypt and gather them from Assyria. I will bring them to Gilead and Lebanon, and there will not be room enough for them. They will pass through the sea of trouble, and the surging sea will be subdued, and all the depths of the Nile will dry up. Assyria's pride will be brought down. Egypt's scepter will pass away. I will strengthen them in the Lord, and in His name they will walk, declares the Lord. This is God's holy word as recorded in the book of Zechariah. May its reading be a blessing to our hearing. Let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. There is a promise of great comfort for those who follow God, for those who are in God's stable or flock in this particular text account, for those of us who rest there. There is great comfort. And yet, in the midst of all of this, God has a few things to say. Idols speak deceitfully. Diviners see lying visions. Others dreams that are false. Comfort from those sources is comfort in vain, because it does not rely on God Almighty. It does not come to God or seek God to be their Savior. Rather, they trust in other words, other deceitful things. Lots of things out there to take to heart, and yet those are not the truth. So be warned. One must be discerning. One must be looking out for the truth if we're going to find it. God's anger burns against those that are supposed to be helping us, walking with us, showing us the way, and failing to do so. So there is judgment. Judgment against those shepherds that fail in their duty. God promises to punish the leaders. For the people are powerless. They're powerless to do what they feel is right, what they might discern is right. They're powerless because none of their leaders are leading them that way. And so the leaders will be judged. They need God Almighty to care for the flock. That's literally what it says. We need God Almighty to be our shepherd, to come to us and lead us in the ways of righteousness, in truth, in holiness. Scripture predicts the cornerstone will come from Judah. Jesus comes from Judah. The stone rejected by the builders will become the capstone, Scripture tells us. That's Jesus. He's the one that we're looking for. He's the one that this text is pointing 700 years forward toward. It's a long time to wait for the reward that's promised. But he is the tent peg. What does a tent peg do? Keeps your tent from blowing over. That's what it does. Without a solid tent peg, what you have is a pile of cloth on top of you and around you. That won't hold up, not if the wind blows. He's the tent peg. He's the stability of your home. He's the battle bow. He's the one who defends you. He's the one who fights for you. He's the one who gives us the righteous rulers, those who lead us in the right direction. He's the one who gathers us together so that we might become those who trample our enemies, because the Lord is with us. He's here to strengthen Judah and to save Joseph. It's the south and the northern set of tribes. To restore us, to become the compassion and to have compassion on all of us. This is a promise made to the people of Israel 700 years before Jesus is going to show up. And we have 2,000 years since Jesus showed up the first time, waiting for his second coming. A second coming that will make our hearts glad, will make our children joyful. Our hearts will rejoice in the Lord, and God will signal them, gather them, and redeem them. Although they were scattered throughout this world, they will remember the Lord, and their children and them will survive and return. It's a promise of the exiles to be brought back, and yet it's also a promise of all of us who hold on to the Lord and Jesus Christ, that together we will return to a new Jerusalem and hold that down, make that our home, a heavenly home, not an earthly one. And there'll be so many of us that come from Egypt and Assyria, two long-standing rivals of Israel, metaphorically talking about the enemy in our world, about those who do not follow God. From those places,
God will gather us. Out of the heart of what is wilderness, He will gather us. Out of the places where we are faced with hostility, God will gather us. And we'll pass through the sea of trouble. It's a nice metaphor for this life. That's what we have. A sea of trouble, of difficulties, of things that test us. And to whom do we belong? Where is our allegiance? Are we here for ourselves or are we here for God? We will pass through this sea of trouble. And Assyria's pride will be brought down. Egypt's scepter will pass away. Those nations that are hostile to God and to God's way, they will finally pass away. They will be taken away. It'll be in the strength of the people who follow God, through God's strength moving through them, that they will live securely. Jesus comes as our good shepherd, the shepherd that we really need, the shepherd that replaces those who are supposed to be shepherds and have failed. If you read the Gospels, if you read Jesus' encounters with those that are there, you'll find that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, these individuals were more concerned with what they wanted than with what God wanted. They were supposed to be shepherds to the people and actually built stumbling blocks for them. If you weren't wealthy, you couldn't manage the law. You couldn't buy the sacrifices. You couldn't pay the prices. The poor were out. It's not how God intended it. It's not how God wanted it. And yet that's the way they had made it. They'd made it so that those who sought God with a heart didn't find affirmation in the formal religion of the day. But the formal religion put money into their pockets, put power into their hands. That's what happens when we twist what God gives us. Jesus came as our good shepherd. That's what we read in the Gospel of John. That He has come to set us free from these things. But it costs Him. The Good Shepherd comes that He might lay down His life for His sheep. We are His sheep. We are that for which He died. That is the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's what Zechariah looks forward to, but can't quite see. That God is at work in our world. That we, His sheep, who so easily go astray, need a good shepherd. Not a mediocre shepherd, not a bad shepherd. We need a good shepherd. One who actually cares more about us than themselves. And that's what we see in Jesus Christ. He is the one. He is the one who dies for us. But not just dies. He rises again. In His life, we have life. In His resurrection, we are raised from the dead. It's easy to romanticize a story about sheep. Unless, of course, you've tended them and cared for them. Then you might realize that They're like my dad said. They're so dumb, I don't want them. Do I have a witness? Are you like sheep who need care every day, every minute of every day? Who need God to come in and say, no, go this way. Don't go that way. That's who we are. Martin Luther says that sheep are the most foolish and stupid animals. Those are his words. I never dealt with sheep. I only had pigs. We know that this description can also apply to us, for we do all sorts of stupid things. We lie. We cheat. We backstab. We manipulate. You name it, we've done it. One way or another. We have broken God's faithfulness by our unfaithfulness. But the truth is that God still calls us to be His through the grace offered in Jesus Christ. Martin Luther says, therefore, Jesus joyfully abides in me. And let none other rule over our lives or our conscience. It's Jesus. Listen only to Jesus who speaks to us, guides us, comforts us. That's what He's here for. That's what God's called us for. Calvin says something similar. If you elect instead to focus on Jesus' parable of the gates, or the door, which was read for us this morning, Calvin says this, Christ compares Himself to a door, because there is no other entrance into the church but by Him. Hence it follows that they alone are good shepherds who lead men straight to Christ, men and women, in this day and age. We must lead one another straight to Christ. He is the door through which we must move if we are to find God and to find His salvation. Not to leave Wesley out, but Wesley also comments about us, about stupid sheep, quote unquote. He assures us that Christ counts us as His own, dearer than a friend or a brother. We might not act real smart. We might not be able to find our own way in this world. But God loves us so much that He's willing to come to us and lead us to where He wants us to be. It might take us all our lives to get there. Calvin would say you get there 1 second after you die. Wesley might say you get there 1 second before you die. Whatever works. Whatever needs to happen, that's where God wants us to be, to lead us to that place where we love Him, we honor Him, and we rejoice in what He's done for us. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we thank You that You have called us to be Yours. And that calling is not dependent on how good we behave or have behaved or will behave, but through the confession of our sin and our mistakes, we find Your grace. And that grace is greater than anything we have done, anyone we could have made ourselves to be. It draws us out of that world, out of this world that we surround ourselves in, and into yours. So, Lord, take us forward, move us into that place where we might find the Good Shepherd who cares for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now go in the knowledge that you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. He has a purpose in your being there. Christ who lives in you has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this and go in his grace, his love, and his mercy. Amen.